I used to fancy myself as a teacher, too, with the boys who came to see practice in Darrowby. I could see myself now, smiling indulgently at one of my pupils. "You don't see this sort of thing in country practice, David," I said. He was one of the young people who occasionally came with me on my rounds. 15 years old, and like all the others, he thought he wanted to be a veterinary surgeon. But at the moment, he looked a little bewildered. I really couldn't blame him. It was his first visit, and he had expected to spend a day with me in the rough and tumble of large animal practice in the Yorkshire Dales. And now there was this lady with the poodle, and Emmeline. The lady's progress along the passage to the consulting room had been punctuated by a series of squeaking noises produced by her squeezing a small rubber doll. At each squeak, Lucy advanced a few reluctant steps, until a final pressure lured her onto the table. There she stood, trembling and looking soulfully around her. "She won't go anywhere without Emmeline," the lady explained. "Emmeline? The doll." She held up the rubber toy. "Since this trouble started, Lucy has become devoted to her."
"I see.
And what trouble is that?"
"Well, it's been going on for about 2 weeks now. She's so listless and strange, and she hardly eats anything."
I reached behind me to the trolley for the thermometer. "Right, we'll have a look at her. There's something wrong when a dog won't eat." The temperature was normal. I went over her chest thoroughly with my stethoscope without finding any unusual sounds. The heart thudded steadily in my ears. Careful palpation of the abdomen revealed nothing out of the way. The lady stroked Lucy's curly poll, and the little animal looked up at her with sorrowful, liquid eyes.
"I'm getting really worried about her. She doesn't want to go walks. In fact, we can't even entice her from the house without Emmeline."
"Eh?"
"I say she won't take a step outside unless we squeak Emmeline at her, and then they both go out together. Even then she just trails along like an old dog. And she's only 3 after all. You know how lively she is normally."
I nodded. I did know. This little poodle was a bundle of energy. I'd seen her racing around the fields down by the river, jumping to enormous heights as she chased the ball. She must be suffering from something pretty severe, but so far I was baffled. And I wished the lady wouldn't keep on about Emmeline and the squeaking. I shot a side glance at David. I had been holding forth to him, telling him how ours was a scientific profession, and that he would have to be really hot at physics, chemistry, and biology to gain entrance to the veterinary school, and it didn't fit in with all this. Maybe I could guide the conversation along more clinical lines. "Any more symptoms?" I asked. "Any cough, constipation, diarrhea? Does she ever cry out in pain?" The lady shook her head.
"No, nothing like that. She just moons around looking at us with such a pitiful expression and searching for Emmeline."
Oh dear, there it was again. I cleared my throat.
"She never vomits at all, especially after a meal. Never. When she does eat a little, she goes straight away to find Emmeline and takes her to her basket."
"Really?
Well, I can't see that that has anything to do with it. Are you sure she isn't lame at times?"
The lady didn't seem to be listening.
"And when she gets Emmeline into her basket, she sort of circles around, scratching the blanket as though she was making a bed for the little thing."
I gritted my teeth. Would she never stop? Then a light flashed in the darkness.
"Wait a minute," I said. "Did you say making a bed?"
"Yes. She scratches round for ages, then puts Emmeline down."
"Ah, yes."
The next question would settle it. "When was she last in season?" The little lady tapped a finger against her cheek. "Let me see. It was in the middle of May. That would be about 9 weeks ago." There wasn't a mystery any more. "Roll her over, please," I said. With Lucy stretched on her back, her eyes regarding the surgery ceiling with deep emotion, I ran my fingers over the mammary glands. They were turgid and swollen. I gently squeezed one of the teats and a bead of milk appeared.
"She's got false pregnancy," I said.
"What on earth is that?" The lady looked at me, round-eyed.
"Oh, it's quite common in bitches. They get the idea they are going to have pups, and around the end of the gestation period they start this business. Making a bed for the pups is typical, but some of them actually swell in the abdomen. They do all sorts of peculiar things."
"My goodness! How extraordinary!" The lady began to laugh.
"Lucy, you silly little thing, worrying us over nothing!"
She looked at me across the table.
How long is she going to be like this? I turned on the hot tap and began to wash my hands. Not for long. I'll give you some tablets for her. If she's not much better in a week, come back for more. But you needn't worry. Even if it takes a little longer, she'll be her old self in the end.